This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's the actual Dennis.
I'm here.
He's back from his holiday.
I am here.
And you were away in the nice warm sun for a while.
Oh, there, yeah. Huh? It was fantastic.
Nice.
Out in the Caribbean.
And you were saying just a week ago you were snorkeling.
Yep.
And here you are now, Dennis. 8 degrees or
and
colder.
-5 at my house.
Yeesh. No fun. Well, we're glad you're back. So we're here in the, we're getting ready for Snowpocalypse. It's a, what is it? It's a French toast warning. French toast emergency, something like that.
Yep.
Get your milk and bread and eggs and we're making chili.
Oh, you're going to make chili.
Yeah,
that'd be
my
nice.
Wife said they're almost out of kidney beans.
Whoa.
So everyone's got the same idea about this too. But we're going to be hunkering down and dealing with snow, because what is it? It's New England, for crying out loud, in the dead of winter. Oh, and it's cold. I haven't heard anything about global warming, by the way, but we're okay. Let's go ahead and talk about what's going on at 10 o'clock. We're very excited. We're going to have a guest on our program to talk about electricity.
Electricity.
Wow.
We actually have that here in Connecticut,
We do. We pay an arm and
we're
a leg
lucky.
And a kidney for it. And basically, Michael Caron is a former commissioner of PURA. He's been on there for quite some time. He'll talk about what PURA does and how we maybe talk about how we got into this predicament that we're in. And there's also a very expensive bill coming due, $1 billion worth of storm damage that, guess what, has been kind of kick the can down the road, so you know you're going to pay for it. Someone's got to figure this out. So on top of your outrageously crazy bills, that's in your future. And we'll talk a little bit about, too, as to how we got this arrangement of a monopoly power system that seems to have stemmed out of Chicago. A bunch of robber barons back in the 20s came up with an idea. You know what? This competition thing stinks. Why don't we just make it so that the politicians regulate us? Believe it or not, it's the coolest thing story that I've heard, and Michael will talk about that as well. So we're looking forward to chatting with him. But I gotta wind up this tune for you guys. You might remember this tune. This actual tune that we're gonna play was a commercial from, I don't know, maybe even a half a decade ago now, from the Big Game. 15 years ago, this is a 15-year-old commercial, Carolyn says, and it's germane to my story that I'll be bringing up after we play it. So let's listen to the Green Police.
Okay.
No. Ah, the hot tub at 105. Ah, clean diesel. So I love that commercial, and thank you, Carolyn. This is a 15-year-old commercial, and of course, clean diesel, right? We kind of joked about this. This is where Farfig Nugent cheated on their clean diesel,
right? Because they figured out how the car could detect that it's being tested, and then it would run the engine in a different way so that it would pass.
Correct. So they give you that virtue signaling of all that clean diesel stuff, and then they cheat on the actual test. You can't be more cynical than that, and that's why I love it as far as something to play for you guys. Well, here's even more craziness. So in Germany, all right, the folks that brought you Farfrick Nugent, they're forcing Lexus to remotely kill car heating.
What?
In the dead of winter.
What?
Yep. So basically, Germany spoke to Japan and said, hey, guys, you know, I know your car is wicked smart and you can actually turn it on remotely from your phone. Might you use that technology to make sure that you can deprecate heating the car while idle?
What?
Yep. That's what they did. They actually did this. So now if you have purchased a high-tech brand new vehicle from Lexus and you wanted to, and it's 8 degrees, what was it again at your house?
-5.
And it's -5 outside, you got some frost on your windshield, you guess what? You got to go out there and breathe on it yourself. Because in Germany, you can't idle your car and heat it at the same time. And they proactively deprecated it so that you couldn't do it, period, because you wouldn't want your neighbor to notice you're idling. That's a bad thing.
It's one thing for them to implement Germany's law within Germany.
Yes.
But it sounds like they're implementing Germany's law everywhere.
Nope. Only in Germany.
Only in Germany?
They went after the Lexuses in Germany.
So they're detecting that the car is in Germany.
Yes.
And then making the change?
Making the change proactively. So if you happen to be a Lexus owner that says, you know what, to the German law, and you want to warm up your car so you can actually see out the windshield without going, you know, being outside. Of course, you can't pour hot water on your windshield. You've seen what that happens on YouTube. Oh, right? Yeah. It'll just... So... This is how ludicrous it is, right? You haven't even done it yet, and they take away your ability to do it. We're doing that here in America, too. There's now, a new kill switch that has gone through Congress. It was recently, Massey went out there and put an amendment recently to actually get rid of this kill switch that is designed to actually detect if you're drunk. Lovely idea, right? We don't want drunk drivers on the road.
True, we don't.
But now the car, some of these cars, the smarter cars that they are, the ones that you've paid extra money for, they have all this great technology now, possibly can see whether or not you're drunk before you actually drive the car and not let you drive the car. But maybe you're having some other kind of issue.
Well, yeah, maybe there's a fly in your car and you're swatting it, and maybe the car swishes a little bit because of that, and it's not really danger because you're still in control.
I've had some issues with bees.
But then maybe it would say, this guy's drunk. Shut it off.
Right. There's plenty of states that have that... a lock that can be done in between your ignition and you have to breathe into it. It's like 33 states that do that.
Right. But once you've passed the interlock,
You're fine.
You can drive the car.
Not in this case. This future is coming where they're going to give you the ability to kill your car. So as the Germans don't let you warm up your car and you can't. So if you want to pick up your kid at school, your car is idling. Guess what? It's not going to heat anymore.
No. In
Germany. Now, if you're electric, and you've gotten all of your energy from a very dirty, polluting power plant, you're good. You're good.
Oh, that's okay.
You can go ahead and idle all you want.
Yeah, you just can have all the fossil fuel burning in order to get to that they want.
Maybe a windmill maybe helped, but who knows? But in the case of your actual car, they've actually killed the ability to heat it while idling in Germany. Coming to a blue state near you. We'll see what happens. I'll put this link up here for you guys to read, but you can't make it up, and the more you spend on your car, the more they're going to take away the ability for you to actually drive your car or whatever technology it is. So what else do you want to talk about there, Dennis? What do you got?
Let's talk about Microsoft.
No, sure.
Very quickly, we're going to go over something that happened. Microsoft 365 had an outage yesterday.
They did. Yeah.
And it was, or
was it
no, two
Thursday,
days ago.
Thursday,
yeah. It was very bad. It lasted a very long time. Even after Microsoft said, yeah, we know what's going on here. We're going to fix it.
Yeah.
And then crickets for 10 hours.
Right.
And nothing got fixed for 10 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And something similar happened a week before that with Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire service was down.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't experience it because you were enjoying
I was on a cruise and I wasn't connected to cellular at the time,
no
even though I am a Verizon customer.
Yeah.
So they're not going to refund me.
You're not getting 20 bucks for you.
I'm not getting my refund, no.
We saw that you're in the Caribbean.
At any rate, you know, in both cases, we have identified problems that dragged and were not solved.
Right.
And we were not getting any news from either company for a very long time.
Right.
And then suddenly they figured out how to fix it.
Right. They flipped the switch.
Right. It's just... things are getting complicated beyond their ability to manage it, unfortunately. But at any rate, Microsoft also has been giving out BitLocker encryption keys to the FBI to get into the bad guys' computers. And here on this show, we usually tell people if they can implement BitLocker on their computers.
Yeah.
Consumer computers with a home operating system do not have this feature, so you're not going to be able to turn it on. You need Windows Pro. Okay?
Oh, so I didn't even know that. So you're telling me I'm a home user, I can't encrypt my machine.
If you're a home user with the home operating system with that designation in it.
No privacy for you.
Bingo. Mm. But at any rate, whenever
it's not private anyways.
Well, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
But we tell people to enable that, especially businesses. because they want to protect their proprietary data.
And their customers' data.
But Microsoft has given out BitLocker keys to the FBI just for the asking.
Not that you're doing anything wrong. You're innocent until proven guilty.
And it made me recall the snafu that was going on. What was it in California? I think in 2015 or 2016, there was a terror attack.
Oh yeah,
and
the iPhone issue there, with right? One of the
terrorists had an iPhone that they were trying to break into.
Apple
would not just hand over the encryption key,
right?
Somebody eventually figured out how to get into the phone, I think, if I remember right.
The Israelis know what to do.
Apple stood their ground. They said, no, we're not giving you that because we can't.
Right.
And they didn't. But Microsoft, here you go. Yeah, whatever you want, FBI. Yeah, we'll give it to you. Go ahead.
Not good.
Have it.
Not good. This is an issue when it comes to privacy and security. And again, another issue why you're going to find companies like Microsoft not being used in other countries, right? Because if this is the case and you can't even trust the encryption to be encrypted unless somebody asks it to be decrypted without even your knowledge, there's not even any information. Oh, by the way, the FBI is looking at your data. Mm-hmm. They don't have to report that to you. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I'm no lawyer. I don't know why that's okay. But it doesn't seem okay to me. And basically when it comes to your email, when it comes to that kind of thing, if you look at Proton, that can't happen. The keys are not owned by the company.
They don't even have them.
Right.
The key is yours and yours only.
Right. So anything anybody asks for, you're not going to get it. You're going to have to do the law enforcement the old-fashioned way, which, again, I'm pro-law enforcement. Don't get me wrong. I'm the biggest rule follower you'll ever find. But you can't go after people's encrypted data without – obviously, these companies will just cough it up. And who knows what you're – what you're asking for. Are you doing it legitimately or not? I mean, that's another issue too. So we'll put these stories up there for you. And I just love the Green Police ad there. I can listen to that a million ways from Sunday. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this cold Saturday morning as you've run out. You probably found there's no more milk and bread. So
no, it's all gone.
It's all gone. All you have left is our show to keep you warm. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And coming up at 10:05, we'll speak to Michael Caron, a former Pura commissioner. And he'll explain a little bit how that electricity sausage is made. And man, oh man, as we can tell, it tastes awful. Ah, yes. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and the lines are wide open. Feel free to get online. We are here full power with Dennis here as well.
Yep.
We're happy to have you back, Dennis.
Thank you.
I muddled through without you last week. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, and a little more data on that outage that Dennis was talking about. So 10 hours, Microsoft 365 was down.
Yep.
And this is the issue with us in IT, right? So we just had a client advisory board meeting yesterday with some of our TAB clients that we always try to work collaboratively to see if we can improve our service or whatever we can do to help them out. And one of the clients mentioned, hey, you know, could you have helped us with an alert as to the fact that Microsoft 365 is down? Sure. Obviously, we can't email you.
I mean,
it's down. The issue is, though, how often we cry wolf. The problem with Microsoft as a partner, it's a partner with us.
Right.
They don't tell us diddly.
No.
So we know what you know, which is the same darkness.
Yes.
When are we going to get an answer? So if we told you at hour one, this is a Microsoft outage, be prepared for what? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was taking some of those calls from customers. They're asking why their email is down.
Right.
And of course they are. And I don't have any problem taking the call. But
no. What
can I tell them?
Exactly.
I have no answer.
And neither does
Microsoft. I don't know what's wrong. And I don't know how long it's going to take to fix it.
Right.
And there's just nothing that I can do.
all we can do is sit there and say, we agree Microsoft's down. And of course, you're going to now have issues with getting business done or getting, right, you know, getting confirmations done or whatever it might be, because email's pretty important. And what do we use to alert the customers, right?
We have Microsoft 365.
We have the same problem. So yeah, we have to use a different system and have a whole communication method to get the word out. That is then, do we send it at hour one, hour 10, hour three? We don't know when it's going to fit, when they're going to come back online. So the moment we've actually had instances where we've sent out warnings to customers or gotten them prepared to go out, and it comes back online.
Right. I mean, it for all we knew, it could have been a 5-minute outage.
Right.
But
because Microsoft isn't telling us anything.
They
aren't
telling
you. According to your
story,
they knew it after an hour.
Oh, after, well,
as far as
an hour, I think it was an hour or two, they announced that they did know what the cause was.
But they didn't tell you what it was.
They didn't tell what it was, and they said, we are working to fix it, and then crickets. And then
I wonder if Maine could change this so we could actually have Maine force them to tell you when they have outages in the same way they talk about their breaches.
Well, it would be great if something like that could be done.
Yeah.
But what they were doing was using Twitter to get the word out, because their own, get this,
yes,
their own service portal that is supposed to tell you the service health
was down.
Stopped working.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah. Literally, they couldn't even use their own systems to notify anybody about anything.
Was that due to
they were using Twitter?
Maybe due to overload of people asking what the heck's going on, or do we think it's related to the issue?
Oh, I think it was related to the issue. Yeah. I think their outward face of their whole data presence was shut down or just not available.
So there you go again.
So it affected both the services that they resell to customers,
right,
that we resell, as well as their own outward-facing presence on the internet. All of it was...
And we are supporting it, right? So we're out there trying to support this product, because obviously Microsoft couldn't support everybody even if they wanted to. Even if they wanted to take all of our clients away and go direct and have you talk to Microsoft direct and not go through folks like us. Clearly, they can't do it. Because they can't even deal with their own issues internally to even let us know when their portal is down like that. And that's just a great example of what's going on with the internet itself. The internet, the cloud, data centers, you know, we don't know how much electricity they're going to take. We don't know how much pollution they're going to make. We don't even know if the data, the AI that's being produced is of any value or not. There's so many questions. And you have to ask yourself, these folks who are so smart to make artificial intelligence aren't smart enough to know why their email is down. Why wouldn't they just have their artificial intelligence tell us what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
If it's such a great idea.
They could use Copilot to get the word out.
Right.
They could use Copilot to explain the problem, explain what they're doing, get the word out, and keep people notified as to what's going on instead of crickets for 10 hours.
And Copilot would just say, your email no worky. that's where we were. High tech. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We are both live, in person, in studio. We dragged our pasty white computer geek butts here in the cold and started our cars and let them idle. Ha ha, Germany. Send the green police to warm up before we put our pasty white computer geeks in those seats. Because it was cold, man. We don't like that. It was really cold. Yeah. So we're here. Help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you're on Facebook and you want to get a part of the live feed, we're simulcasting on Facebook, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. You can join just by asking. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. Or you can follow us over at YouTube as well. We're simulcasting there. So we'll be here until 11 o'clock. Stick around. And Michael Caron will be joining us from Pura to kind of explain, if he can, how electricity works. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock and happy to help you out. I'm sure you're oiling up your shovel and you're putting the old, I've seen these things on the interwebs there where you take your, what is it, your Pam, and you spray it on your snowblower blades.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people actually did that.
Yeah, so whatever you're doing out there, getting gassed up, Getting your snowblower lubed up. Go ahead, Carolyn.
No, that's the new segment, because I don't know where you guys are.
I know.
Because there's no callers. I haven't talked to anyone. You're all going to call in at once now. I know it. You all gang up on me.
Four lines wide open.
We got to go debunking the hacks or what people think are hacks online. I don't know how many videos I see every single year. Someone's like, take boiling hot water and pour it on your car. And it's like, that's not.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to do that in Germany now. Yeah. But, that's not a good idea. Don't do any of that. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And we have four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Happy to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And at 10:05, we do expect Michael Caron to join us, a former commissioner of Pura, who's been in the thick of things for quite some time, interpreting what the legislature said he had to do when it came to how electricity works. Which is a key, as far as I'm concerned. If you think about the whole Pura scenario, we like to hate Pura, right? We always, they're the ones that are killing us with regulation, these costs. But guess what? They don't set them. They do what the legislature does, tells them to do. So you can thank your legislature for not understanding how electricity works, because all Pura was trying to do was live within those frameworks.
Right.
They can't come up with them on their own.
Right. And they can't write their own laws. They just have to follow the laws that are on the books.
So, as I've always said, we get the government we deserve. So clearly you must like paying what you're paying for electricity. But he'll be on and talk about just how the sausage is made when it comes to electricity. And we do have your calls coming in, which is good to see. 860-522-9842 is the number. Carolyn, get to those. As we wait, do you have any stories you want to bring up there, Dennis?
It is the end of an era in more ways than one.
All right.
Sony, the company that gave us, among other things, great televisions for decades. I mean, going back to, a long time. And they were trend-setting. They were technology-defining television sets. They are exiting that business completely.
They're just
they have sold it off, and they are handing it over to TCL, which is a Chinese company.
Yeah, I've seen their stuff. You can get a good TV for like nothing. It's practically free.
I know, and they're I actually know some people who have TCL TVs, and they're not bad.
No, I got them in my basement in my rumpus room.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're not bad. So this isn't necessarily a terrible thing, but. Back in the day when color television just came out, Sony created, back at the time, the Trinitron CRT, which, like I said, was technology defining. And everybody else working along with what RCA was doing at the time, they all set the standard for what televisions were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everything changed over to LCD panels,
they did the same thing.
Sony did the same thing with their Bravia line.
Correct.
Now, they've long ago shut down their CRT operation and their plasma operation.
Oh, yeah.
But right now what's happened is that they've sold off the Bravia line to TCL.
And that's an amazing thing, because when Sony came up with that LCD technology, basically movies were actually locked into that color to make sure that if their movie was put out on a screen, they would use the Sony Bravia line as the actual de facto model for how it was supposed to look. So a blue on that TV was going to look how it was supposed to look from the movie side of things. So that was the standard, the gold standard. So now this super cheap, I mean, the TVs that are out there from TLC, I think it's like the warranty is like good luck. I mean, it's like, what do you want for $200 is the warranty? They generally seem to last, and they're super, super cheap and thin. It's a sad thing to see. But this is the whole thing, right? This whole thing with good to great and watching companies go from point A to point B. How do you go from being that good to not being able to figure out how to produce
how to
a TV
any
at
money
a lower
on
cost?
It either. Yeah. Right. Because that's apparently why they exited. They just weren't making any money. I mean, they're making nice televisions and people are buying them, but this isn't giving us too much cash flow, so why bother?
Yeah.
For me, it recalled IBM selling off their computer manufacturing and server manufacturing to Lenovo, which is kind of a funny story in itself, which if I ever have a time to go over that.
Well, you don't now. They're calling in.
I know. That's why I'm waiting for the calls to open up.
We're going to go ahead and get you your calls. Carolyn predicted this. Let's go to Mike in Bristol. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Snow blower's full of gas, so I figure, well, I might as well call in.
There you go.
Help me.
Nice.
Hey, TurboTax told us that we're not going to be able to run our software on Windows 10 machines. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, as an amateur like me, can I go ahead and upgrade that machine to 11 or 12 or whatever the next stop is and get TurboTax to work this year?
You can if it's qualified to upgrade, and Microsoft makes that information available. Okay. There are a couple of caveats. Number one, you don't want the computer to be too old, because even if it's capable of running Windows 11, it's probably going to drag if the CPU is too old. Mm. So how old is the computer?
I'm going to guess 4 or 5 years old, but I've only run TurboTax on this thing. So like it's loaded up with all kinds of other stuff, you know?
All right. Well, 4 or 5 years old is well within the range of what Windows 11 should be capable of. And I'm just thinking out loud that it should be upgradable. There is one thing that could get in your way, all right?
Okay.
And that is if Trusted Platform Module, or TPM, is not enabled in BIOS on the computer. A lot of computers were sold in the time frame when you bought it that had a fully qualified TPM on board that will support Windows 11. It'll make it very happy. Mm. But for some idiotic, there is no valid explanation for why the companies did this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the manufacturers manufactured the machines with the TPM disabled on board.
Yeah.
Now, it's just insanity that they did that to people, but they did.
Yeah.
And you have to go into the BIOS to enable it. And we can post an article about how to do that. I think we've already got that on the website.
Mm-hmm. We do.
But Mike G and I will come up with something for that.
Tom Peter Michael, I've got to worry about that BIOS. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I can see the online. I can see Windows 11 or 12 or whatever.
11.
Can I just push a button and have it update?
It might already be trying to feed it to you.
Yeah.
Open up the system settings, which you can do with. I think it's Windows.
The Windows key and E. Yeah.
Yeah, and then go into the Windows Update section. No, Windows I. Sorry. Because Windows E opens Explorer.
Yep.
Windows I, and then go down to the bottom on the left, and it'll say Windows Update. And if it's eligible, and if it already has the update logic loaded, it will invite you there to upgrade to Windows 11.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Try to avoid buying a new machine, because right now there's a huge spike in costs for
I don't want to do that. This thing's got no miles on it, and I just want to keep rolling with it, you know? So.
Yeah.
Okay, brothers, thank you.
You got it, Mike.
Yeah.
Enjoy paying your taxes. All right, see ya.
Yeah. Bye.
He's going to be able to pay his taxes now by upgrading to Windows 11. Again, it's a Rube Goldberg approach to tax paying, right? I want to pay my taxes, but my machine is running as Windows 10, and TurboTax is in some sort of cahoots with somebody, because refusing to upgrade to run in Windows 10 is just silly. I mean, yes, it's a deprecated operating system. Yes, it's older. But just to say I won't is the same way Germany has said you can't idle your car.
It's the same thing.
Right? I mean, your software works. You just choose not to let it work. And then, of course, you force upgrades. And the problem now, though, is there's a huge problem. You cannot get affordable RAM and hard drives thanks to data centers, thanks to AI. And all these manufacturers are getting into the high profit levels of those data center chips. Those high density chips are more profitable than your normal consumer grade stuff. And we're going to find out this next quarter. It should peak in March and hopefully go down from there. But we're going to see some massively expensive servers, workstations, computers. I would contend no one's going to buy any. It's going to be kind of, it's going to be like meat, right? When you go to the store and you look at meat, you're like, nope, I just can't afford meat.
Well, here's the issue with that. It has to do with timing.
Yeah.
Because over the past 2 years, everybody has already bought new computers that they needed for the Windows 11 upgrade.
Those of you who waited may be
now,
in trouble.
Now, people who waited, yes, but there are a lot of machines out there that right now are very, very new, and they're just fine. They're not having a problem.
I agree.
So, yeah, the manufacturers are just not going to be selling machines over the next few months.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. You guys are getting on the line. That's great. We'll try to get to your calls here. We're going to go to Janet and Carol next. And then, of course, I've got another call coming in. So we'll step out and then be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. We're back and here till 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Janet in East Hartford first. What's happening, Janet?
Hi there.
Hi.
I just received a notice yesterday from Verizon.
How'd you receive it? How did you receive it, Janet?
And I wonder, I have, you know, had Frontier since AT&T days.
Oh, okay.
And I know that Verizon had a problem last week, but they're much more energetic about selling their ware all over the place. And I wondered if there is any, are there any secrets that are going to be happening that we should know about?
Verizon did buy Frontier's fiber business, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
I believe
it. Yeah, they did.
All right.
I'm pretty sure of it. So, yes.
And why would they have to actually solicit her? Because they're going to get it by default.
Well, here's the thing. Mm. If you're not, even if you're a Verizon customer because you've got their cellular, they still have to sell you fiber if they want you to have it.
But if you've already got Frontier and they've already bought it, you probably don't. So, Janet, you're using Frontier right now? Hello, Janet? Don't listen to the. You're listening to the broadcast. It's going to cause some issues. You got to turn it down. Do you already have Frontier?
Yes, I am.
You do have Frontier now, right? Hello, Janet. Oh boy, Janet's got a lot going on there. You can't listen to us on the radio, Janet. You got to listen to us on your phone.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, you have Frontier now. So let's just quickly answer your question. Competition is good. If Dennis is right, which he'll check, I think he probably is. He's been right all the time. Verizon already owns Frontier, they're just telling you that you're going to be now a Verizon customer. I would contend that's their notice. But you could also be a cellular connection type of Wi-Fi customer as well. You don't have to get your internet from the wire anymore. You can be wireless, so that is an opportunity. Also, East Hartford is looking at other fiber services. That you may want to take a look at. Take a look at GoNetSpeed and take a look at, it depends on where you're located, but I think East Hartford's pushing to get some sort of community-style fiber as well. So lots of options for you. But I think if you're already a Frontier customer and if they have been purchased by Verizon, you will be a Verizon customer by default.
Verizon is a little too much for me with the way they handle customers because my next door neighbor has it and they really don't handle people very, I mean, they can sell, but they can't produce.
Mm. Yeah. That can be an issue when it comes to customer no service, as Clark Howard used to say.
Yeah. Well, and even when you go in person, cause I dropped my neighbor off a few times and they're not, you know, they're slick.
Mm. Yeah.
They're very slick and I don't trust them.
Well, look for alternatives then. Go ahead and put your address in, see if GoNetSpeed's coming. There's always alternatives now. We finally have some competition in internet. And I think Dennis is checking on the Verizon Frontier.
Well, I found a CT Insider story that mentened that the acquisition was just completed.
Oh, good.
So, yes,
so you are a Verizon customer.
You are, whether you want to be or not, you are a Verizon customer now because you had Frontier. There you go. Yep. Bang. Yeah. It's already been done to you.
But that doesn't matter. But I'm also leery of having a community, you know, the town of East Hartford, they like to, they like to ride the half moon, you know, up to the skies and say we have a community.
Internet.
It's not even a company. Just, you know, the way because the town is sort of divided into two zip codes, so that's how they divide us up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do about that, but you know, NetSpeed I don't trust either.
You're hard. You're a tough cookie there. You're a tough nut to crack, Janet.
Well, no, but then there's Proton.
Proton's an email system, but that's not an internet system.
Right. So, Proton can't give you internet service.
Yeah. You need the actual internet first. So I would tell you to look at GoNetSpeed. I appreciate you not trusting anybody. I do actually work that way first. Trust but verify.
Well, because I listen to you all the time, and I bring my, my stuff over when you have your little roundup over by the street that isn't anymore.
Yeah, I know. They shut down our street. Yes. How do you know a town doesn't want you anymore? When they shut your street down. Janet, take a look at the alternatives. There's not a lot of choice, but there is some choice out there. And I would tell you to look at GoNetSpeed. If they come to your address, they may be a good alternative if you're not considering keeping Frontier of Verizon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'll sleep tonight. So thank you.
You got it, Janet. See you later.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
That dog may not help her sleep. Yeesh. Let's go to Hanover and Carol. What's going on, Carol?
Hi. So I bought a new computer.
Congratulations.
Thanks. And I had all my files onto an external hard drive, and I dragged them over to the C drive on my new computer, and I thought everything was going fine. And then come to find out, it didn't put them on my computer. It sent them off to friggin' OneDrive.
If we had a nickel for anyone says frickin' OneDrive. They thought you'd want it in the cloud, Carol. They just couldn't imagine you wanting it on the line.
I know in a week or two they're going to send me a message. Oh, your OneDrive is full. You have to pay blah, blah, blah a month for more storage.
Possibly. Yep, that's a thing.
So how do I get them out of OneDrive and onto my computer? Do you already have this all explained somewhere and you can repost the link?
Well, what you're going to do is you're going to do kind of what you did already, but you're going to do it in a different direction. You're going to open up OneDrive in Explorer on the computer where those files are now. Then you're going to copy them, and you're going to make sure that when you copy them to somewhere, it's on your C drive and not OneDrive.
Right. Make a directory. Create a
directory on the C drive. Maybe call it files from OneDrive so that you're very clear as to what it is.
Okay.
And then copy those files down from OneDrive to that location.
And then you got to remove them from the cloud.
And then you're going to later remove them from the cloud, but don't do that until the copy operation is done and you're happy with the results.
But here's the question. You remove.
It's going to take forever.
No.
Not necessarily.
It depends on your internet. Most likely your internet will be fine. The bigger question I would think is, you removed them from the OneDrive. Is it really removed?
I know.
Right? I would contend it's probably not. Microsoft has backups of whatever you put up there, supposedly. But they don't really back up your stuff. But they do. But they don't. But they do. But they don't.
They back it up for them, but they won't give it to me.
Who knows? The point is, if it's deleted from the cloud, is it really deleted from the cloud? And that's the issue. And that's what we found out with the Fappening, where people were finding out that their naked nudies were ending up in the cloud. They didn't realize it. There's all sorts of scenarios of the cloud that we have to be sure of. And I can't tell you with certainty, because I just found out just yesterday that they were giving away BitLocker codes to the FBI.
Yeah.
Not that you're doing anything wrong, Carol. But the point is, there it is now. You did it by accident, and now your data is not in your hands anymore. Whatever that data is, you could add a great novel or whatever. It's now sitting on Microsoft's hands, and if they're willing to do what they're doing with the FBI, fine. But it's there now, and I couldn't guarantee you that it's gone when you delete it. I wish I could.
So, but would it be faster? I still have all my files on the external hard drive, except for, a handful of new things I made. Wouldn't it be faster just to recopy them from the external hard drive?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
I would think so.
But I thought that's what I was doing. So how do I do that? There's already a document.
You go to the C. Well, do what I suggested before. On the C drive, create a directory called My old files.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
copy them into that folder. You need to know where you're sending it.
Right.
Okay.
And if you want to make certain it's not going to get back to the OneDrive, get off the internet while you do it. Turn off your internet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
But then when I turn my computer back on, won't it say?
Don't turn your computer off. Don't turn your computer off.
Turn it off. Disconnect from the internet.
Yeah, unplug your router or firewall, whatever you need to do. To be sure, if you want to be, it's a little extreme, okay. But I'm kind of joking. But no, if you really want to be sure, you're not sending it to the cloud. Disconnect from the internet.
Yeah.
But don't turn the computer.
The pain in the neck about everything being in the cloud is every time I double click on something, I have to wait for it to friggin' download.
Yeah. And you don't even know where your stuff's going. That's part of the problem.
No.
Where is your data
going?
Probably
in China.
It could be anywhere. Your data center, it could literally be in some data center in Chile for all you know.
I know.
Who knows?
Or Chile. And then when I opened up my laptop desktop now looks like my new PC desktop. Mm. Who gave them permission to change that?
Say that again. What do you mean?
So when I opened up my laptop for the first time, my laptop now has the same files on the desktop as my new PC does, not the ones that used
all right.
to be there.
It's
synced or something.
Hold on. Mm. Yeah, you must have had OneDrive syncing going on at some point. And then you logged into the new computer with a Microsoft account because it forced you to do that when you powered it up for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then it just synced everything back down.
Because it thought you wanted it to look the same way.
Now that I've said that, and now that you've told us that that's what happened, I would look on the computer and see if your files got moved already.
Right.
Some of them, maybe not all of them. From that external drive, but some of those files may already be where you want them to be. I'm just saying that out loud.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that out loud. Take a look before you start going copying stuff.
It is
because you don't want to you don't want to have a lot of duplication built up.
Right.
It is confusing.
Oh, why did they do this to me? Okay.
Well, the question is, why weren't they clearer about it when they were doing it? Why didn't they, during the process of setting up your computer, why don't they stop you and say, hey, this is how we're going to do this. Mm. Look for this. Look for that. It will be this way. It would be really nice if they asked if you could do that. Well, but at least tell people what it's doing.
I know. Mm-hmm. Like previously when I would be going to save a Word file, for instance, it would say, do you want to save it on OneDrive or you want to save it on your computer?
Right. Now they just
slam it. On my computer. Now they just put it on OneDrive.
I know. It's not good, Carol. But we hear you.
I know. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Yeah, and enjoy the storm.
Thanks.
Enjoy the storm.
That makes no sense. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Thank you, Carol. And taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Coming up at 10:05, we're excited to have Michael Caron, a former commissioner of PURA. They regulate our electricity. He's been on that commission for some time, and he'll explain to you how the electricity sausage is made. I learned some stuff chatting with him yesterday that I didn't even have a clue about. So I'm excited to bring him to you guys and have him chat about how this all works. We'll be right back.